Well, all right. We're going to be talking today about strategies for dealing with superiority complexes. And this is inspired yet again by a Quora question that goes like this. Since you can't control how people perceive you, what advice would you give to a person who is approached by every person as if they are beneath them? So it's a little bit clunkily worded, but I'm still going to answer it. And it can be really challenging to deal with people who approach you with a sense of superiority, also known as a superiority complex. So, you know, that's what this is going to be about. I think we've all been there. I know I've been there, and, you know, sometimes, who knows, maybe we've been the person who had a superiority complex, and maybe this can offer some lessons in how we should behave if the shoe is on the other foot, so to speak. So dealing with someone who has a superiority complex can be challenging, but there are several strategies you can employ. So the first one, this is probably one of the most important ones, is to try to stay calm. Don't let their behavior affect your own composure. There have been times where I have overreacted to a situation and it didn't help. So I think, you know, using myself as an example is a good thing here, because, you know, I had an opportunity to learn lessons from that. And I think the same thing would go for you, whoever you are out there listening. So remaining calm can help you think more clearly and respond rationally. So, you know, it's a thing that you need to really make an effort at sometimes. And some of the basic advice works, you know, take deep breaths and try to stay centered, you know. Sometimes taking a little bit of a break can make a big difference. And the other standard thing is to set boundaries, make it clear what behavior is unacceptable to you. Sometimes you just have to say no. Sometimes you don't even engage in a debate. You know, you just shut it down. And that's not always the best option, but sometimes it is. Sometimes that's how you de-escalate a situation. Let them know that you won't tolerate condescending or disrespectful treatment. And, you know, sometimes that can really just shut down their whole effort. It's almost like a magic trick. And another thing is that sometimes you have to avoid confrontation. Engaging in power struggles or arguments with someone with a superiority complex often only fuels their behavior. So try to avoid confrontations whenever possible. And it's not always going to be possible, and sometimes you're going to make the mistake of, you know, plunging straight ahead into their, you know, their BS. But, you know, it's a work in progress. Because, unfortunately, you're going to meet more than one person like this in your life. It's most certainly not going to be just limited to one person or one argument. And the next bit of advice, this is one of the trickier ones, is that despite all I just said, you still have to try to empathize when possible. You know, sometimes people develop superiority complexes as a defense mechanism to cover up their own insecurities. One specialist, quoted by verywellmind.com, explains that someone with a superiority complex may enjoy playing a game if they're winning, but think the game is stupid if they're losing. And, well, who might that remind somebody of? A certain orange-tinted popular figure who's pretty famous for, you know, his ego. But anyway, they might try to shut down the competition, throw shade at the winners, or overreact to losing because it triggers their insecurities and makes them feel stupid. So yeah, know that when somebody behaves in that sort of way, even if they say that you are the stupid one, often what is going on is that they're the ones who feel stupid, right? So they're projecting their own feelings of being stupid and worthless outward onto you. And what's crazy about that is that, you know, if you're reading this in the abstract, you know, like just reading it like as some sort of advice or listening to the advice from a podcast like this one, it might actually sound like BS, but this is actually what happens in real life. You'll have encounters like this out in the wild, you know, this seemingly almost nonsensical armchair psychoanalysis stuff actually can be proven. You know, I've experienced this firsthand, you know, and that's one of the amazing things about life is that so many of the things that almost sound like shrewd stereotypes about people end up actually being accurate. Well, at least for certain individuals, you know what I mean? Like, that's one of the crazy things about life is that you're not supposed to, like, engage in any sort of stereotyping, yet for whatever reason, there are always some people who seem to be going well out of their way to look like whatever stereotype is out there, and it's kind of crazy. But anyway, putting that aside, try to understand where they're coming from and empathize with their feelings, as weird as that might sound. And that's even if you don't agree with their behavior. Maybe even especially if you don't agree with their behavior. Because, you know, if you try to put yourself in their shoes, you'll better know how to understand them and how to deal with them. And you'll even understand more about why they are wrong and the dimensions of their wrongness, or however you want to put it. Sometimes people act superior because they themselves feel insecure or inadequate, as I've suggested. And, you know, that's one of those things that really bears repeating. So by showing empathy, you can potentially diffuse the situation by because what they're looking for is to be able to identify themselves in you. You know what I mean? That's really one of the core aspects of this behavior, is that they might outwardly try to demonize you and vilify you for something, but at the same time, if you do have at least the appearance of trying to understand where they're coming from, it's something that's going to impact their own behavior, because they're typically such egotistical characters that they'll think, maybe this person is less villainous or whatever, simply because you're being a little bit more polite than they are, you know. So that's one of the things that actually can defuse a situation. And of course, there are some times where it pays to focus on facts too. If they're making unfounded claims or belittling others, calmly present facts and evidence to counter their arguments. Now, that can be tricky because such people often really do not care about, you know, the factual basis of claims. They're usually more rooted in opinion and emotion. But, you know, it's one of those things where you have to try to be on the lookout for, you know, people who will use lies as a way to distract from whatever factual basis you have for what you're saying. Because sometimes they can lie by omission, and that just means they're excluding certain details from the conversation. Or another tactic that liars will often use is they'll throw in some half-truths as sort of a way to, like, build a bridge between your view and theirs. But often the half-truths have very little or nothing to do with whatever you're even talking about. And some of those will involve ways to, you know, make them look better or play the victim or something like that. And that's tricky too, because as I've said, you want to empathize with them a little bit. You want to be able to put yourself in their shoes just to better control the discussion or the debate or argument or whatever. But at the same time, that premise can go too far. So you have to find the right balance. And that's obviously situational. And it's going to be rooted in your own preferences and all that kind of stuff. So just remember that when a debate is lost, slander becomes the tool of the losers. So if they're slandering you, you really have to be on the lookout for the emotional components of it. Like what was the moment that triggered them into, you know, feeling that they had to slander your character? Because that's really going to be the most one of the most sensitive areas of their whole view in this matter. And sometimes it might not even really be a clear view that they're trying to represent. They just might not like you, and they're looking to establish some sort of way to vilify you, and so they'll make stuff up about you and slander you. So, you know, the whole thing about slander, the quote about slander, when a debate is lost, slander becomes the tool of the losers. That quote suggests that when someone finds themselves unable to argue their point effectively in a debate or discussion, they might resort to slander or personal attacks against their opponent instead of sticking to the facts or the merits of their argument. Essentially, it implies that resorting to slander is a tactic of desperation used by those who have lost these substantive arguments. It's a caution against letting discussion devolve into personal attacks when rational debate fails. So, you know, when that happens, when the rational aspect fails, you may just have to assert yourself, you know, stand up for yourself when necessary, assert your own opinions and beliefs without being aggressive or confrontational. Well, again, to the degree that's even possible. And you want to lead by example, too. So show humility and respect towards others, even when faced with arrogance, again, to the extent that it's even possible. Leading by example can sometimes inspire others to reflect on their behavior. And I've been in a few situations where, you know, I was arguing with people who seemed to be totally immovable and irrational. But sometimes all you have to do is, take the higher road, and they will kind of see the foolish way that they look, and their own ego, or whatever you want to call it, will make them adjust their behavior and try to look more moderate so as to not look more foolish than you. It's not necessarily that they've even learned their lesson, at least not in any true sense, but they're wanting to sort of look superior to you, you know what I mean? Because they become aware that they look foolish. So remember, you can't change someone else's behavior, but you can control how you respond to it. And by doing so, you might be able to moderate how they approach things. So, of course, a lot of this stuff, it will require a degree of confidence. And oddly enough, you know, this can actually be sort of mimicked. Like, even if you're not the most confident person, that there are some, tricks you can employ to at least appear more confident. And one of them is the classic, you hold your head up high and project confidence, even if you're feeling intimidated. Confidence can often deter people from trying to assert dominance over you. It's sort of like the animal kingdom. You know, yet again, I've been critical of, you know, body language analysis and that kind of stuff. And for good reason. Some of that is total BS. But this is one of those things that often is true. You know, if you do, like, raise your head up high or whatever, and, you know, you don't seem too nervous around people, you'll be receiving more respect because of that. If you don't seem to be nervous, breaking a sweat, or however you want to look at it. It's just one of those quirks about life. So, you know, the whole assertiveness thing, it can be different from aggression. Assertive communication involves expressing your thoughts, feelings, and needs in a clear and respectful manner. So if you practice assertive communication, you might let the other person know how their behavior is impacting you. And you might make it harder for them to deny it, right? Because if you're speaking something in a clear, concise way, and none of the facts appear to contradict you, they're either going to sort of cave to whatever point you're making, or they might just insult you or something like that. Those will be two of the main options. And, you know, another thing is to focus on yourself a little bit. Don't let someone else's attitude define your worth. Focus on your own strengths and qualities. And don't allow yourself to be diminished by someone else's arrogance. And lastly, now this is one of those things that, you know, it sounds a little cringy to say it, but you might want to seek support if the situation becomes too difficult to handle on your own. Don't hesitate to seek support from friends, family, or even a professional if it comes down to that, you know? If you can pursue that option, I suppose go ahead and do it, if it makes sense to you. So anyway, I think I've said enough on this topic for now. And I think even though this is a relatively apolitical episode, I think it can have some impact on politics if more people employ these methods. And, you know, you can better deal with the clowns that seem to think your life should be part of their circus. So anyway, that's about all I have to say. And you have a splendid day.